First of all, tell us about your successful experience in the private sector. You run a company that does production placement for TV and movies?
I do, actually. We do everything from script writing to development, and we fully produce.
And what is, you know, just briefly, what is the entertainment production business like? And do you think that there's parallels from your experience there in the private sector that would serve as assets as a congresswoman?
Oh, sure. Sure, absolutely. You run a business. It's just like running a business. You have to create budgets. You have to live in those budgets. You create jobs for people. These are all things that will kind of transfer over.
And you also serve as the local chapter president for the National Organization for Women. Why did you want to get involved in NOW, and how would you characterize your work there?
I think it's rewarding. We have reached out to a lot of different groups, women's rights groups, and we've been able to organize quite a few events locally. Our chapter is an old chapter that's trying to regenerate itself, and I thought that I would be one of the, well, a perfect fit, you know, for that particular position. And so when I was nominated and elected, I was happy to take it.
And let's look at your background politically speaking. You haven't held office before, but you've been involved in political campaigns dating back to your teen years when you campaigned for Ronald Reagan's presidential bid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about at what point you decided to end your affiliation with the Republican Party and why?
Well, it was in around 2005, or shortly after that. I believe it was probably shortly after that. We were lied to, basically, about weapons of mass destruction in order to get into a war we didn't belong in. And I really think that that's what drove me away from the party. That plus the economic crash, and it just wasn't really a party I wanted to be a part of, so I became an independent at that point.
And then that was an eventual transition to becoming Democratic. What did you see as far as the Democratic Party's values that aligned with your own in terms of perspectives and goals?
Well, what I noticed when I decided to join the party is they had a larger goal of reaching out to communities and trying to make the lives of the people there better. And that's what I was really interested in. My only special interests are the people of Southwest Florida. I don't have corporate special interests, and it seemed like that's where the party was going. So I didn't want to be part of the Republican Party, but more so the Democratic. And I do, you know, disagree with some views that are Democratic, and I agree with views that are Republican, and I am a true moderate.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I was going to ask about, you know, this culture of partisan gridlock that seems to mm-hmm. continue to pervade. If elected, do you see yourself as a representative who could work across the aisle and not just...
Absolutely, yeah. Being on both sides of the aisle has really given me a unique perspective. And I truly believe that once I'm elected, I could go up to Washington and find allies that feel the same way I do. They're moderates who want to do what's right for the people. And that's their first mission, is to make our lives better and to do things that will help their districts and our country. And those are the people that I want to form an alliance with.
Well, let's talk about your economic agenda, dubbed Freemanomics, the bold plan
mm-hmm.
for a brighter future. What are the core tenets of your economic agenda?
Well, there would be border security, creating jobs through several different avenues, including a high-speed rail and bringing the water flow back south into the Everglades to stop the destructive releases to the Caloosahatchee River from the Lake Okeechobee. That would also create jobs and stop the destruction. Border security, I think we could strengthen our border security by enlarging the footprint of our Coast Guard station on Fort Myers Beach, as well as bringing in Air National Guard near Southwest Florida's International Airport. We have the space out there. We have the ability to be at the forefront of a lot of different technologies, including solar energy. We're in Florida. The sunshine it's a wonderful source. We need to start using it. And we could actually implement factories, industry here, and start creating and bringing this technology here to be produced. And we just need to stop buying things from China. And right now, most of our solar energy equipment is coming from China, and we need to start doing that here.
So ending the Cuban embargo, you know, the jobs that would be added through the Coast Guard expansion and, you know, along with jobs that could be created through more interest in renewable energy, are these all the sorts of things that would be adding to your proposed increase of state revenue by 10% each year?
Absolutely, including taxing medical marijuana. I think we said that right. And potentially getting approval and coming to a new treaty with the Native Americans in Florida to build at least 5 more casinos that are architecturally beautiful, and we can tax that revenue as well.
And as far as your plan, going back to the expansion of Coast Guard presence here on Fort Myers Beach, have you heard from other stakeholders like local law enforcement, Florida Fish and Wildlife?
Well, actually, it would be an integrated agency. We would have the local, state, and federal officials in that same building. So they would be able to share resources they wouldn't normally have. And we would have faster response times. It would turn into a full on station and not just a substation out of St. Petersburg. So we could create jobs, greater economic opportunities here, and it's just the right thing to do. In addition to, we have the Veterans Clinic out in Cape Coral. We have enough land surrounding that clinic to turn it into a full medical center so that our veterans don't have to drive all the way to St. Petersburg to go to Bay Pines when they need treatment.
Well, and let's talk about your economic plan as it relates to tax reform. What would you like to see happen with the tax code?
Well, we need to close loopholes first. And we need to generate income from those other resources. We need a rewrite of the tax code, and we can start there.
At least on the state level, do you think what you'd be proposing as far as changing in the tax system might undo some of the tax breaks for businesses championed by Governor Rick Scott in this year's legislative session?
Well, what we need to do is we need to close loopholes for the larger corporations. I mean, they're not paying any tax right now, or very little tax. And we could really benefit from having women and veterans own businesses. We can, you know, give them a tax credit. We need to close the loopholes for the corporations and the special interests, like I said, and eliminate all corporate tax expenditures. We need to implement reasonable corporate income taxes and implement a reasonable tax for foreign earnings. These are all things that we can do to boost our economy and boost our revenue. And this can be done. If we follow the plan, we can actually increase our revenues by 10% year over year. It's been studied, and it's proven, and it actually can happen.
And what about, you know, renewable energy? Would you push for Florida to develop a renewable energy standard, something it, you know, currently still doesn't have?
Yes, absolutely. Renewable energy. I mean, we could be energy efficient, energy independent, just through solar energy. There's no reason for us to be fracking for natural gas in Florida. That doesn't make any sense. We don't have the bedrock for that. And renewable energy, as far as the it's a trash. Well, basically, they take solid waste and they turn it into renewable energy. That is a really great program. They currently host a facility up in Lake County. We need more of those.
And the Obama administration recently released a draft rule intended to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. I think in Florida, they're looking for coal-fired plants to, you know, reduce their emissions by something around 38% within a 16-year period. Of course, this is just a draft rule. There's going to be a whole year of public comment and whatnot. But is that something you would support if elected?
I would have to read the bill. I'd have to read the legislation and then decide. There are many pieces of legislation that either the Obama administration or the Senate or the House passes that I don't necessarily agree with. So I would need to sit down and actually read every aspect of that bill and of the proposals and make my decision from there.
Certainly, certainly. And I was really curious about, you know, this part of your platform dealing with high-speed rail in our region. You know, we hear about that idea in terms of going back between Tampa and Orlando, but not so much District 19.
Right. No, Tampa and Orlando is just the start. We need to take that high-speed rail all the way across the state to Daytona Beach. We also need to have a high-speed rail from Naples to Miami, and then one going north and south. I think that, you know, it'd be fabulous if we could actually go over to Miami for the day and come back, and vice versa. Miami can come here. We've got prettier beaches than they do, and you know, there's incredible shopping here. I'm sure that there are a lot of people in Miami who wish they could just come over for a couple hours and go home. It's a five-hour drive back and forth. The same thing from Orlando to Daytona. And wouldn't it be great if we could take our kids to Disney from down here on a high-speed rail and then come home that same day?
So you're seeing big opportunities for increasing tourism dollars as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not to mention the jobs from creating the high-speed rail and then operating it. And once people start using it, it will pay for itself. Mm-hmm. And this will also help them to get to jobs that they wouldn't normally be able to get to.
Right, right. And, you know, I've also read some criticism of your platform just in that it seems very locally based. It's very focused on issues facing the district. Meanwhile, this is, you know, a national office covering much larger issues. Why did you choose a campaign that really focused on, you know, what's going on here in District 19?
Well, basically, if we can make all of these proposals that I have in my economic plan work, here, right here at home, we can make them work anywhere. And I'm running to represent the people of this district. My first priority is going to be making sure that we can build our economy right here in Southwest Florida. But national politics has always been a passion of mine, and I am driven to serve. And it is just, I feel like it's the right thing I should be doing. We can make a lot of changes here locally and, you know, then implement the same changes across the country. And as far as, you know, we were talking about, you know, bringing industry here to build solar panels and to build solar technology, we don't have to do that in Southwest Florida. We can do that all over the country, but we also can do that in Southwest Florida. We need to strengthen our borders and incrementally lifting the embargo on Cuba would definitely help strengthen our borders, but it also helps the entire country, not just Southwest Florida.
And lastly, I wanted to, you know, just touch on the previous person who held this position you're running for, Trey Radel. Despite indiscretions that led to his resignation, he was a congressman who was known for spending a lot of time in the district, coming down here, holding town hall meetings, communicating with constituents. And we all know, on the other hand, there are members of Congress who tend to stick up in D.C. If elected, do you see yourself as someone who, you know, would be coming back to Southwest Florida regularly?
Southwest Florida is my home, and this is why I want to represent Southwest Florida. This is my home. This is where I live. This is where I will be. When we're in session, of course, I'll be doing my job, and I'll be doing my job every day. And when I come home, I'll be holding those town halls and talking with people in the district, because that's what they deserve. I want to be known as the accessible congresswoman. People can always approach me. I want to be approachable. I want them to know that I care about them, and that's why I'm doing this.
Well, April Freeman, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Well, thank you.